Go ahead and turn with me to Philippians 1, is where we're going to be at. So while you're turning there, actually, if you need help, you have the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, and Philippians. And if you guys don't have a Bible and you would like a Bible, please ask one of the small group leaders. I would love to be able to get you one to keep. So let us know on that. But so it seems like it's been a while since we've gone through Philippians. We had small group week last week. So to kind of recap, I thought it'd be helpful to kind of glaze over what we've already studied so far. So who is Philippians written by? Just go ahead and shout it out. Paul, right? And who is Paul writing to? In the Philippians. I like it. All right. More specifically. Yes. Yeah. His writing to other believers in Philippi. And so Paul has been so encouraged by hearing other people's faith that he is writing to them to also encourage them in faith as well. And so what we find is that he is doing this from where? Where do we find Paul? Yes. Yeah, Paul is in jail. He's in prison, and unlike Paul, we see being in prison as a bad thing, right? Hopefully we see prison as being a bad thing. But Paul somehow has joy in this, and he's actually pretty grateful of how God is using that, because Paul's able to witness to the prison guards. He's able to share the gospel, the good news with them of Jesus Christ. And even more so than that, that other believers in the world are hearing of what God is doing in Paul's life, as well as doing through Paul, that they're encouraged to go share their faith more boldly as well. So pretty amazing what God is doing here. Pretty amazing to hear of Paul's perspective on this. And so with that, in a nutshell, that brings us to verses 18 through 26. And so if you'll allow me to read from Philippians 1, 18 through 26, here it goes. Yes, I will rejoice, for I know that through your prayers and the help of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, this will turn out for my deliverance. It is my eager expectation and hope that I will not at all be ashamed, but that with full courage, now as always, Christ will be honored in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me. Yet which I shall choose, I cannot tell. I'm hard-pressed between the two. My desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that is far better. But to remain in the flesh is more necessary on your account. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy in the faith, so that in me you may have ample cause to glory in Christ Jesus because of my coming to you again. Before we begin, let's pray. Father, thank you so much for tonight. Father, I ask you for help to communicate. Lord, your word is so life-giving. It's hopeful. It's alive. And I pray that just through communication here tonight, through me as well as each other and the small group leaders, that you would help us to gain a greater understanding of what you're wanting to communicate to us, that you would help us to gain a greater perspective on life and what life is all about. So we ask you for your help in this, in these things we pray, in your son's name of Jesus, amen. I gotta admit to you guys that this lesson, I really need to somehow preach it to myself, so maybe now that we're being recorded, I could go home and listen to it for my own application. Because I didn't really have that great of a day today. It's just, nothing is ironic. All things are for a purpose. But I didn't have a good day today. Did anybody else have a bad day today? I don't want to be boasting in us all having bad days, but It's just a reality that we just go through tough times. We find ourselves in difficult circumstances. And so for me, the day began with me waking up with a headache, which I never really enjoy, getting off to a later start. I'm a carpenter, so I take things apart, I put them back together, I build, I construct. And today was one of those days, unfortunately, that I ended the day further behind than when I started. It's always a disappointment, right? Super discouraged by the day, and I gotta admit to you guys that my attitude and my perspective was lacking today, especially when I consider what I'm going to be talking about here tonight through Philippians 1. And so, in thinking about Paul and all the things that Paul endured through his lifetime, it humbles me for me to complain about the things that I encounter on a daily basis. So to give you an example, if sometime you want to look at some of Paul's things that he's encountered in 2 Corinthians 11, 24 through 28, he talks of receiving 40 lashes, less one, 5 different times. He was at 3 different times beaten with rods. He was stoned. He was shipwrecked. He was out at sea for a day and a night. That doesn't sound very fun. He, just in frequent journeys, he was in danger from rivers, from robbers, from his own people, from Gentiles. He was in danger in the cities, in the wildernesses. He was in danger at sea from false brothers. It speaks that he had many sleepless nights. He often was cold and hungry and thirsty. And so I look at that, and I think about my bad day that I had today, and it pales in comparison. And then yet you think of Paul's attitude in all of this. You'll find many, many times that he is grateful for what God is doing through it. He has joy in his difficult times. It reminds me of James 1, how it talks about how our God is shaping our character and causing us to become more and more like him through these difficult things. So, question for you is, what is Paul's secret? How can he have this joy? How can we have the same joy as Paul? And so, tonight, I'd like to propose to you that the main point of this text tonight, I'd be curious to hear what you had as well, but I came up with, as a Christian, I can rejoice because of my deliverance. I can rejoice because of my deliverance. So even though I had mentioned that a lot of our experiences, a lot of our trials, whatever, don't really compare that well to Paul, we can't escape the reality that our bad days are just as real as Paul's bad days. That our bad times, our difficulties are just as mountainous to us as it was to Paul. But thankfully, God does not leave us without hope. He gives us hope. So let's unpack this a little bit. So if you look at verse 19, as Paul is talking about this, talking about his imprisonment, being thankful and grateful that regardless, God's gospel is going out, going forth, he rejoices because he knows that through the prayers of the believers in Philippi, and through the help of the Spirit, he knows that this is going to turn out for his deliverance. It says that he is eagerly expecting, and he is hopeful that these things are not going to bring him shame. But get this, he not only has courage, but he has full courage that now, as always, Christ is going to be honored through his body. And I don't want you to miss this. At the end of verse 20 and 21, whether by life or by his death, for Paul to live is Christ, and to die is gain. And it's the same as for us too. So as my first point, I want to point out how we can rejoice in our deliverance knowing that Christ is honored through our living. More specifically, Christ is honored when we live for the glory of God, like Jesus did. So it's really easy to say, like, to live as Christ, but if you're like me, like, that doesn't really have much weight or value until I actually understand what it's like to actually be living as Christ. Many people have different opinions about what it is to truly live. So you might say to truly live means to have success or to be become better at flag football or sports in general. You could say that to be successful or to live a good life means to becoming popular or relating that with how much money or possessions you have. Or it could be just staying healthy. Being healthy is truly living to you. But Paul knows that all these things are fleeting, that they will one day disappear, be gone forever. And so that truly can't mean what life is all about, because those things disappear. So for Paul, living for Jesus means, and here's a few practical things of what it means to live for Jesus, and it begins by knowing Jesus and believing him. So the first way that we can truly live for Jesus and bring him honor through our living is knowing who he is. So you know that Jesus is God. You know that Jesus lived a sinful life, that he came and he showed us how to live. Us being sinners, we our punishment is death. And so it's knowing that Jesus died for our sins. It's knowing that Jesus was buried. He was raised again. He conquered death on our behalf. It's knowing that Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father. And so death has been conquered on our behalf. Living for Jesus also means becoming more and more like him. And we practically live for Jesus. We practically live this out by reading the Bible and obeying his word. This brings him honor and glory through our living. And lastly, I wrote down just as a practical way of living is simply sharing the good news with others. So I studied the Great Commission, or not the Great Commission, how the Great Commission is actually tied into the first and greatest commandment and the second, and that is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, right? And the second is to love others as yourself. And so these two are inseparable. As we discover who God is and what God has done for us, it automatically causes us to want to share that and want others to experience that as well, if we truly understand. So it's not like living for Jesus is not something that we add on to our lives extra to what we're already doing. In short, living for Jesus is basically making Jesus our life. So, we rejoice in our deliverance, knowing that Christ is honored through our living, getting to live like Jesus did. But also, we can rejoice in our deliverance in knowing that Christ is honored through our dying. So, once again, verse 21, it reads, to live is Christ and to die is gain. What do you think Paul is referring to here when he says to die is gain? What do you think we are gaining from dying? Yes.
Eternal life.
Eternal life. Yep. So what about eternal life is gain? Why is that gain? Yeah. So like it's an end to basically all the bad stuff, right? If you're a believer in Christ, it's we're free from sin, we're free from temptation, we're free from all these trials and tribulations, these bad days that we're having, right? But that's true. But the biggest gain that we have in dying is Christ. We get Christ. We get to live with Christ, like you said, for eternity. So I like, it's kind of fun to be able to like read along with Paul's thoughts here, because he's just speaking his thoughts here. He's saying that he can't really choose which one he would rather have, because
To live in the flesh means fruitful labor, like we already talked about. To live as Christ is fruitful labor in the here and now. But he can't choose. He's hard-pressed between the two. His desire is to depart, and here it is, to be with Christ, for that is far better. It's far better. But to remain in the flesh is more necessary on your account. So, to die is gain, because, yes, we are free from this broken world, but we get to be with Christ for eternity. Death, I think it's important to note that death is not something that God originally wanted us to experience. Because of sin, death is now something that we must experience before. Unless Jesus Christ comes and rescues us from death, it's just something that we have to experience. I like what John Piper wrote. He says, "We must endure what we hate and fear most in life in order to enjoy what we love and what we long for most." And so, if you're not seeing death, if you're not seeing being with Christ as the ultimate gain, then that should cause us to kind of like throw the yellow flag up and stop and pause and just to assess what it is that we're not understanding, if Christ truly is not what we long for most. If we don't long for Christ most, then we're not understanding something about God. We're not understanding something about Jesus. And so I challenge you there. I admit I could long for Jesus more than what I do. There are things in this world that, yes, are just, I constantly battle with them being idols in my life. But if we're not seeing Christ as the biggest gain, then reassess. As far as application, I just wrote down three. I'm sure there's many applications you guys can talk about in small group. But one of the takeaways that I had in doing this lesson is first, to be convinced that your life has purpose and live purposely. So way back, we already talked about in Philippians 1:6, where it says, "I'm sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ." So application is to understand that God is doing a work in and through you. And so if you're here, like here tonight, here now, it means that God is still working. He still has a purpose for you to live for him today, to live for Christ. Just making a side note here that God is the giver and he's the taker away of life. We don't have, nor should we have, control over that. God determines how long we are here. He already knows the number of our days. He has a plan and purpose. And so if you're here, be delighted, be thankful, be grateful that God is still using you. He's still working in you. Application takeaway number two is we are to cause others to glory in Christ. We're to cause others to glory in Christ. It's interesting to me that in verse 25, Paul says that he is convinced that he will remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy in the faith. Kind of going back to the greatest and the second greatest commandment, to love the Lord God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second is to love others as yourself. So we love God, we get to know God, we commune, we become more and more like Christ, but also our obligation is to share that with others. Paul recognized that God was not done. He's not through with Paul, but wanted to use him to progress others in the faith. And so that should be our application as well, to pray for others, to encourage each other, to teach others about what it means to become more and more like Jesus. And finally, application number three is simply to look forward to our future deliverance. I think it was beneficial for Paul to keep his perspective right in all of his persecutions, that he stayed focused on the prize, that he knew that nothing could separate him from God, and if it meant him still surviving, it meant to live as Christ. If it meant him finally dying and being with Christ, that was for gain too. But we also should look forward to our final deliverance from this broken world. You might see this as sad, and it can be, but if you think and meditate on what it will be like to be in the presence of God, unashamed, fully accepted, becoming more and more like him, how cool is that? That's pretty cool. So, as a Christian, we can rejoice of our deliverance. And in the meantime, we can honor Christ through our living. And in the future, we can honor Christ through our dying. Let me pray, and we will be dismissed to small groups. Father, thank you just for the lesson, for your word. I know it's just spoken to me. I ask you for forgiveness in what I make this life out to be, that I get so caught up and wrapped up and just tied up in my own things that I fail to recognize what you're truly trying to accomplish in and through my life, becoming more like you, as well as just being involved in the great privilege it is of sharing what you have done with others, because we can only do that for a short time while we're living here. And so, Father, I pray that you would just grow us in greater faith, that you would grow us in greater understanding of who you are, so that we can truly long for being delivered from this broken world, from being delivered from the things that we struggled with, and just to be at last with you in your presence. So, Lord, help us to gain greater understanding of that. Bless our small groups and our time together, and thank you once again for just the privilege it is to be able to meet tonight. And we pray this in your son's name, Jesus. Amen.